become the mom that your child needs as they discover their gender identity. Welcome to another episode of It's Her Turn. I'm your host, Dr. Kate Dow. And today we have the blessing of having Barbara Portzline. She's the president of her 20-year-old business, Organizational Rebel, the creator of Shiro Oracle Card Deck, and she helps women scale their businesses to make more money, to have more time freedom. And Barbara's going to share with us a little bit about her experience with this journey. Barbara, great to have you.
I'm so excited to be here.
So let's just jump on in and start with kind of a little bit about your experience about being a mom. I know you have a lot of experience of being a woman who's helping guide women in business, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But for now, let's dig into a little bit of your personal experience.
So let's see, being a mom, are we ever really prepared for that? And for me, absolutely not. I had no idea what I was getting into, and it has been such an incredible journey for me. I have two beautiful children. I have Soren, who is 17 years old, and I cannot believe it. And then I have Cal, who is 15 years old. And it's just been a huge journey for me. And every day I learn something new about my kids and about being a mom.
You know, that was similar to my experience. Like, it was like an uphill climb the entire time, you know, of never quite knowing how to be the best parent. And that was this ever-changing, point of your goal, you know, because one developmental stage would shift to the next. And it was like, oh my gosh, I was just getting that one down. And now here's the next one. So it felt incredibly challenging.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, for me, my kids, it was something that I didn't even think I was going to have kids. I didn't know if kids were in my future. You know, when I was younger, I just saw my life and I never saw children there. And in my 30s, my early 30s, I realized, like, I need to have children. Like, I didn't, you know, I felt like there was something missing. And then when I had both of these beautiful children, it was scary as hell at first, honestly, because I really didn't know. Like, I never thought of myself as like that arts and crafts mom. So I was never that kind of person that would be like, oh, honey, let's sit here and let's look at your stuff and let's bake and let's do arts and crafts. I was more of a worker, and I didn't know how to shift that. And it's funny, even now my kids, they just see me as a worker most of the time. And when I try to do the mom thing now, because I think I've gotten a little better at it after all these years, they're still just like, go back, do your email, whatever you need to do, mom, we're good. Of course, now they're teenagers, so it's a whole other world.
Exactly. But I can relate to that. I was never, you know, much of a babysitter. I wasn't really around babies. And so I had that calling to, like, suddenly, you know, oh, I, you know, I'm this age and I'm feeling I want to have kids, and yet being terrified also of like, oh my God, how do you even do this?
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. So how did you, you know, navigate that early time of figuring out what it takes to be, well, not just a mom, but also a mom who's working, who has a career?
I was lucky because my husband loved to be a stay-at-home dad. And so that was really good. Like, we complement each other very well. So he primarily stayed with the kids when they were young, and he did a lot of the things that traditionally we would see a mother doing, and enabled me to work and do the things that I loved. And, I had some mom guilt here and there, but for the most part, he took care of everything. So I wasn't too worried about it. And then as my kids got a little bit older, when they actually could talk to me and we could have conversations and I could get to know them as little humans, it shifted a little bit. And that's where, you know, I took a little bit more of an active role. But my husband really was the primary person doing that.
And was that difficult given that, you know, we live in a culture that expects moms to be the hands-on parent. And yeah, so I heard a little bit of the mom guilt. And and did you experience that sort of feedback or the look from other women, like, why aren't you home taking care of your babies?
You know, it's so funny because I really don't care what other people think. So I don't know if I did. You know, I honestly don't know if I did. I think the mom guilt was really more in our family. Like, my husband would say to me once in a while, you know, the kids really want to spend more time with you, or the kids really want to see you more. And that is where it, you know, when someone close to me said that, that's when it kicked in. And, you know, I also spent so many years, you know, we'll talk about business later, but I spent so many years really just working and not being connected to who I was as a person, who I was as a mom, who I was as a family member. And I didn't, you know, the guilt set in once in a while when my kiddos were young. And now looking back, thinking, you know, of just where they are right now, there is still a little bit of this, oh, I wish I would have just slowed down a little bit, didn't work as hard, and didn't feel like I had to work as hard to, you know, to keep things afloat.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear that. And you know, part of your journey as a mom has been also experiencing one of your children going through sort of some gender identity changes as well. And how has that been?
That was, well, right now it's great. And so I just want to preface it, right now it's great. And I am so happy that I have a child who is clear on who they are and speaks their truth and advocates for themselves and all of these things. And it was very, very challenging as a parent to have one of my kiddos tell me, my daughter tell me, that she was a boy. And that happened at a very, very young age. You know, my child around fifth grade basically started identifying as a boy and changing the way that they look, changing the way that they dressed. And it was very, very hard because my kid felt like they didn't fit in anywhere. And as a mom, I couldn't understand it. At first, I was just thinking, oh, well, my child's a tomboy is what came up. You know, oh, she's a tomboy. She dresses like other boys. She'd rather hang out with boys. And I didn't realize that at the core, my child did not identify with her body or who she was as a person, as what we had thought she was.
Got it. So initially it was just thinking, oh, she's just trans, you know, having those challenges as a young girl in school and finding her way. But then when did you get that it was more than that?
That's a great question. When did I get it? According to my kid, I probably still don't get it. So let's just say, when did I really get it? Fifth grade is when my child was clear and said, I am a boy. Sixth grade, my child went to a different school, a middle school, where people were encouraged to be who they wanted to be, label themselves how they wanted to label themselves. I still felt on some level like, my child's so young, maybe she'll grow out of it, or maybe she'll change her mind, or, you know, oh, that's cute, instead of realizing that this was who they are at the core. Mm-hmm. And so it took, you know, I'd probably say seventh or eighth grade. So I don't know what age that is anymore, but it took a couple of years for me to really get my hand around, my brain around the fact that my child, who was born a girl, identified as a boy. And shortly after that, probably not that shortly, maybe 6 or 7 months after that, my child then identified as non-binary, which was a whole other thing for me.
Brooke, can you explain for our listeners, some who may not know, what does non-binary mean?
So non-binary is when someone does not identify as male or female. And believe me, I don't have it all memorized because there's many different types of non-binary folks. My child is agender, which means that they don't identify with either gender, with any gender.
Okay. And so how difficult was that to sort of learn what that meant and then sort of navigate not only what that meant for your child, but also for you as a mom?
So understanding my child has been a really long journey because just when I feel like I get it, my child reminds me, no, mom, you don't get it. And I don't know if that's a teenager thing or if that's just my child thing or our relationship. And so I've done it all. I've memorized every kind of flag there is out there. There's a lot of different flags based on gender, non-binary, all of this stuff. I've researched, I've taken classes, I've volunteered at an organization that works with transgender youth, transgender individuals, and I still don't have it all down pat because things shift so much. And so learning and understanding and accepting and all of these pieces been different things I've gone through on my journey. I remember when I used to say things that now I would never say, things like, oh, I'm mourning the loss of my daughter. And then I realize how dumb that is, how horrible that is, and how my child hearing something like that would think that I'm a complete idiot because my child is still here. Like there's right. All of these things, like you as a parent, you say, oh, poor me. You know, I'm never going to be able to see my child in a wedding dress, or I'm not going to be able to do ponytails anymore for my child's hair or whatever that is. And it's like, it's not about me. And it took me a while to realize that it's not about me.
And I just have to say that's huge, Barb. I have to say, you know, my experience of seeing families, you know, when I was younger, grappling with a child identifying as gay or, you know, lesbian, and parents just, you know, not knowing how to grapple with that and not knowing how to do the work to understand what that meant and how they could show up different as a parent, and literally getting stopped at the place of, well, no, this is what I expected you to be, and this is what I want you to be. And if you're not going to be that, I don't want to be your parent. And that's what we saw a lot of in the, you know, back in my day, growing up in the 70s and 80s and early 90s. Yeah. So this is a big deal.
It is, you know, someone said something really smart to me is that you're not mourning the loss of your child. You're mourning the expectations that weren't met. And every parent on some level mourns expectations that they have for their kids that their kids don't meet. And so it's something that you just have to get over. Like literally, you just have to get over it. And, you know, that's tough.
I agree. I think that that's sort of the expression of a mature adult who can acknowledge, you know, I'm having children and they're going to have their own personalities and their own ways of living and their own experience in their lives. And what I didn't get to have happen in my life doesn't become my agenda for my child. However, a lot of children are raised that way. They are raised with this strong message of, this is what I want and need you to be because I didn't get that, or because I so need you to be this part that I didn't get to express, whatever that might be. It's a very common, I think, experience that we see children go through who are not fulfilling those needs and are trying to express and hold on to their own sense of self. And they're having to deal with these parents who aren't able to make the leap you made. And I just want to acknowledge that because, you know, we're talking about the last 50 years of children being brave and coming out in their truth of who they are, and the society and their parents and their extended family not accepting that, not doing the internal work it takes to get past your own expectations or design or belief.
Well, I had some people that were really giving me some tough love. So I can't say that I just came on this like one day I woke up and I was like, yeah, I'm great now. I'm a great mom. I'm 150% advocate. You know, like I had some tough love. Like, you know, my child expressed at a very young age, my child still is young, at a very young age that they wanted to start hormone treatment and transition, medically transition to be a male. Mm-hmm. So that's a whole other piece. So the mom comes in, you know, the mom, I'm the mom saying, oh my God, like, what if you change your mind? This is something that's permanently altering your body. You know, how are we going to do this? Like, you know, you're so young. I want to wait until you're older so you can make, you know, we can make an informed decision and da, 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 da. And all of that came out, which is, you know, what I would do for anything large that my child wanted. And I had an endocrinologist who was a friend of mine said to me, basically, Barbara, do you want a dead child or do you want a child that's alive that transitions?
Wow. Wow. Face the music hard. That's
heavy.
Powerful.
It's powerful. And, you know, I'm a pretty strong person, right? Like most people don't talk to me like that. I'm like, damn, you know, one part of me is like, damn, shut up. And the other part's like, obviously I needed to hear that. So thank you for that. And it was literally like, you know, it was like one of those that just, bam, hit me in the face. And, you know, said the same thing, you know, about, because my husband and I were in the same position. He was a little bit less open. And she basically said the same thing, like, if your husband's not on board, divorce your husband. This is your child we're talking about. Like, pull your S-H-I-T. I don't know if I can curse on there. So if you don't know how to spell, it spells a curse word. But it'll pull your S-H-I-T together and look at what's going on in your family.
Wow.
Like,
yeah.
Okay.
That's beautiful. Because, you know, that's coming from the last 50 years of people not doing that and not having the capacity or the bravery of friends and colleagues to call you out and say, yeah, do you want to have a dead child or an alive, happy child? It's that real. It's that black and white in terms of perspective of what's important, isn't it?
It is. And it really shook me at a completely different level. And so that sparked me finding out information. Like I wound up taking my whole family, not to my friend that's the endocrinologist, because I could handle that talk, but I don't know if the rest of my family could handle that talk. So we went to a different one and who said something very similar. I said to the endocrinologist, you know, one of our concerns is what if our child changes their mind? And this endocrinologist, a little bit less confrontational, basically said, you know what? You change your mind about what school you want to go to. You change your mind about who you want to date. You change your mind about what you want to do when you grow up. But Barbara, have you ever questioned your gender? And I said, no, I haven't. And, you know, and so we took that in and we made the decision to give permission for our child to medically transition.
Wow. And how was it for all of you when that decision, you know, I mean, that was on the table. How was that for everyone, including your child?
So it was a big relief for my child. It was, there was a ton of, you know, it wasn't a decision we took lightly. We talked, we met, we cried, we, you know, we did everything and we did it pretty quickly because once, you know, I am a decision maker, we are a decision maker. So once we make a decision, we just go with it. And I will always say that even if my child at some point decides that's not what they want to do anymore, I believe I made the right decision for my family at that time. And so,
sure.
I feel good about that. And then I realize, oh my God, have you ever lived with a teenage boy? Do you know what puberty's like when someone has already been through one puberty and now is going through boy puberty? It's a nightmare, Kate. So you're asking how it is? It sucks. It sucks. It sucks.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
What's the hardest part about it?
I don't know if you've ever been around men and boys very much, but you know, they tend to, and this is a gross generalization, so just shoot me down if I say something totally inappropriate, but, and I'm going to own it. They heat up really quick and they maybe don't stay in the emotion as long as women may, but they go from like 0 to 10 in 3 seconds. And you're like, what the hell happened? You know, I just asked you how your day was. It's like, what the hell? And so it's like, I mean, you know, it's a teenage boy. I already had one teenage boy. Now I have two going through puberty. So that's all I can really say without being grossly stereotypical, but it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah. And you know, my kids were 13 months apart. So I had two, a boy and a girl who were going through teenage transitions of, you know, hormones and changes and finding their voice at the same time. So I know that that's literally like walking through the eye of the storm.
Oh yeah. And you get boy smell. I mean, there's a lot of different stuff that comes up that you're not prepared for. And at the same time, I love it. I wouldn't change any of it. Every day is a new adventure.
There you go. Well, that's what you get to come to, is you get to be in that place of, you know, excitement of the adventure instead of the resistance of, I expected my life to look like this when I had a daughter. And I think that's the challenge and the work that people often just don't know how to, don't want to face and do. And I have to just, you know, kind of acknowledge you, because it's, I'm sure it's made a huge difference in your family and how things would have panned out.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. It's still not roses, I'll tell you that. And at the same time, seeing my child grow into a person where they stand up for what they believe in, where they assert themselves, where they correct us if we use the wrong pronouns or say something stupid, which happens all the time. And just loving the ability of my child to find their voice finally.
So knowing and recognizing you're not going to do it perfectly, and that may be frustrating for them, but that they can call you out on it and you can say, oh, that was a stupid thing I just said. Or, you know, I wasn't using the right pronouns, you know, I'm sorry. And just taking ownership of that. I mean, those are all the parts of learning how to re-engage in your relationship when somebody that you love and know is going through a gender identification change, and that's part of respecting and loving them is doing that work and saying, okay, I'll do the best I can. I'm going to make a lot of mistakes.
Yep. Yep. And you know, it's something that, I get, you know, I wish I could be perfect, right? Like we all wish we could be perfect. And when I make stupid mistakes or say things wrong or say something unintentionally, you know, I can feel that pain. And at the same time, I'm human. You know, we're all human. Yeah, so
exactly. Exactly. What do you think you learned the most about yourself in this situation so far?
I have a very deep spiritual intuitive side, and I believe that my child picked me, and I believe that part of my role is to help educate and help other people get to a place where they can go through this acceptance. And so I've learned to be more accepting and to use that to help other people.
That's beautiful. I mean, that was kind of my next question in my mind is, you know, what would you say to another mom or parents who are going through that situation themselves?
I would say the same thing that endocrinologist said to me, honestly,
right.
Because I would just say it. Like that's one of the pieces with me, right? Like I just say exactly what needs to be said, and what that endocrinologist said to me needed to be said. It's like, put on your big girl pants. It's not about you. Pull your shit together and be there for your kid 150%.
Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful. And it's powerful, and not, you know, not everybody can swallow that probably as quickly as you did, but it is the truth, like straight up right there saying, you know, what's more important? And that if we do take our job as parents seriously, then we recognize that when we struggle to show up for our kids with where they are in their journey or their pain points, you know, because my children went through a lot of pain points. And it's like, if I'm struggling, that's my work to keep doing so that I can be the parent I want to be for my kids. It's not my kid is wrong for needing that.
Right. I love that. Yep.
Great. Well, and this, how does this tie in with, you know, the amazing work you do with women? Are you ready to tell me a little bit about that?
Let's see. How does it tie in is a really good question. You know, it's so interesting. So yeah, I help women develop sustainable businesses that are aligned with their purpose, right? So I help people make money, and I help them scale their businesses so they don't have to make decisions based on money. And I will tell you that throughout this journey, I was so blessed that I was able to have enough money to not work for a little bit when things with my family were getting really tough. We had to make a lot of decisions. We had to, we had a lot of stuff going on personally. And there was this feeling of, thank God we have enough money in the bank that I cannot work, because right now I can't work. And that's the biggest thing. So really, my purpose is to help people become sustainable so they don't have to make decisions based on money, so they can live a life that they really want to live and give back to the causes and people they care about and buy a kick-ass pair of shoes if that's what they want. You know, it doesn't have to be all altruistic. You know, I mean, you can buy cool stuff for yourself too. So, yeah, that's what I do.
Well, I love that, but I really does kind of touch me that it's making a living and a sustainable living is also about being able to pause when the world is shaking and collapsing and your family's like, hey, we need to come together. This is absolutely the most meaningful, important part to be focusing on. Like to put it in that context is kind of unique, actually, I have to say, Barb, because, you know, we hear the messages of, you know, succeed and make a bunch of money because, you know, then you're whatever, you've reached this pinnacle of, you know, our American dream existence. But it's really so much deeper than that when we can look at it like, you know, money is the means to be able to not have to be working when the real, you know, stuff's hitting the fan.
Yeah. And I alluded to it earlier that I was working like crazy person, right? I was working like crazy for so long, the lowest paid person in my company, never taking a break, any of this. And I had made a lot of decisions based on money. I wouldn't buy things because I didn't think I could afford it or didn't think that we really needed it. I would have to make decisions, which bill to pay, who am I going to see first? That's who I'm going to pay first, or what's going to get turned off. That's what I'm going to pay first. And I know that feeling of having to make decisions based on your bank account. And when it comes to life-threatening, life-changing decisions, you don't want to be in that situation. You really don't. So yeah, I love the work I do. And, you know, part of it is helping women. It's interesting. One of the biggest pieces is, you know, we all have limiting beliefs. We all have blocks. Many people, including you, help folks with all of that. And I don't help people as much with it, but I call them out on it, kind of like that endocrinologist did to me. Like, okay, you're not building your business. You say you want to build your business. You say you want to work really hard. You're not doing what it takes to do it. So what the hell's going on? So I'm not like a great, I mean, I'm definitely not a coach. I'm more of a consultant, and I'm not super nice when people hire me. I'm not mean either, but I'm there not to be people's friends, but really to help them get to that point where they can live the life that they want.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. So how can people find you if they want to find you and work with you or hear more about your work or any of that?
They can go to my website, which is growmyconsultingpractice.com. And I know you'll put it in the notes here too, but it's growmyconsultingpractice.com.
Excellent. So it has been just a pleasure to have you on talking about this very important and sensitive topic that I think obviously is not talked about enough, and women and parents are not having the support they need, or maybe there is support out there. Do you have any kind of references for support? Families are going through this, could contact any, and I can stick it in the show notes.
Yeah. Well, if there's anyone in New Mexico, the Transgender Resource Center of New Mexico has been a great source of support. There is a national organization called Gender Spectrum that has been a great source of support. There are things out there. There are a lot of parent support groups. There are quite a few Facebook groups. So there is a lot out there. You just really have to be ready and open. And I wasn't for a while, so it took me a little bit of time to get there. But now that I'm there, I really get a lot of support, and I don't actually need support anymore because I feel really happy with where we are. Mm-hmm. But those were great organizations to connect
with. Oh, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I do appreciate that, because I think, you know, we want to leave our listeners who are possibly going through something like this with a sense of, you know, like, well, here's the next step. Right. Mm-hmm. And as well as with your business, you know, because I know you do amazing work helping women. And so I've just really enjoyed having you here. Do you have any other parting words for our listeners today?
The only thing I'd love to say is life is so much better when you don't care what people think. So just stay in your power, own your worth, and you can do amazing flipping things.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you again for coming. And for those of you who are here with me today, thank you for showing up and being a part of this. And I do hope that you're, you know, really digesting and maybe possibly getting some wisdom or inspiration that's helping you on your own journey of life and work and growth and life in COVID. Take a moment. And please subscribe, share, give us a review if you're so moved. I'm your host, Dr. Kate Dow, and I want to remind you, please take time to know that it is your turn now to find your voice, own your truth, and claim your power.